This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome in. Good morning, NoCo, here on a Friday. I am Tanner Schwint. That's Brian Carey. Angel Padilla doing the production work back behind that bulletproof glass. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. And joining us a day later is Havla with Bruno Lilly Legal for Ask a Lawyer. Havla, how you doing on a Friday?
I'm doing good.
When the feds call, you got to go and you got to take care of business.
I know. They don't mess around.
It's nice to know where we sit on the priority list.
And that's exactly what I said. And then she goes, do you really want me to meet you or the federal justice system? And I'm like, radio probably comes second.
Yep, I understand that. Yeah.
I don't need to go to federal prison.
No, because then we would have an open segment on Thursdays.
No, we would have Ask an Inmate, which I think might be kind of fun, too.
Could be. I could line that up with somebody else, though, if you really want it.
No.
You have a collect call from the Weld County Jail. Go ahead and take that one, Angel. That's our next guest.
Every Christmas to hear from the family.
Havla with Bruno Lilly Legal joining us this morning. Well, let's dive in. Let's talk a little bit about the Mar-a-Lago situation, because there was this special master.
Yeah, the Grand Poobah Extreme Exalted Looker Over has been rejected or something.
Yeah, it's really interesting, at least from my perspective, to kind of watch this whole thing play out. So I think, I think what we're watching is sort of Trump's attorneys are making what you would normally see in like a civil case. So when somebody is requesting discovery in a civil proceeding, the request for somebody to sort of review documents and withhold privileged information is normal. In a criminal proceeding where a judge has decided that there's probable cause that a crime exists and that there's evidence of said crime and they issue a search warrant, this doesn't happen. And that's really what the ruling came out yesterday in a unanimous three-panel decision by the Court of Appeals, basically said, no, you don't get to have this like special master interject on the government's investigation of criminal conduct for you. So no more special master.
So this doesn't prove that it's more, or this doesn't point to that it's more likely that a crime was committed. It's just talking more about we're not making a special. We're not going to make a special, what's the word I'm looking for?
Exemption?
Yeah, for you to do this. We're not going to make this a specialized thing just because you're the former president.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this in like more of a realistic context for people, right? Like if, for instance, if maybe Medicare or Medicaid thinks that a medical facility has engaged in some type of fraudulent billing and they get a search warrant to seize medical records, that facility and the patients don't then get to say, hey, you're violating my privacy rights and I want somebody to be appointed to review these records to make sure that you're not reviewing, protected information between me and my doctor when they're conducting an investigation about Medicare fraud. And so if you kind of take that to the next step of what's going on with President Trump or former President Trump was similar in that aspect. They're investigating a crime. He doesn't then get to insert himself and say some of those documents may be privileged. I get to have a special review. No, they're investigating this for a crime. And if for some reason there's privileged documents later on down the road, when he's charged with a crime, he can then raise that issue in court.
Well, that's the whole case, is that there was specialized and privileged documents that he took out of the White House, too, right?
I think the privilege he's talking about is different.
Okay, right? his personal stuff.
Right, stuff like maybe communications with his attorneys or things like that he's concerned about.
The whole thing is very confusing to me in a way, and I guess because there's been so many. Okay, they figured it out. Oh, no, this. The appeal system and everything that goes through, because we've seen, okay, they can't have this. And then, all right, in an appeal thing, they were granted, okay, this guy can be looking over it. And then it's like, no, it can't. How many processes can they go through before we get to the ultimate? Is this, after this latest ruling, the end all? There are no other appeals. We're not going to have this grandmaster brought up again?
No. So in the ruling, they gave Trump's legal team 10 days to file a request for either the full panel, because when you get get to these appellate courts, they usually take about half of the panel to review it initially. So you have an opportunity to say, hey, I want the full panel to review this and see if the full panel of judges would come to a different decision, or request an immediate appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. So he has the option to do either or in the next 10 days.
So there still could be more decisions on this.
Yeah, and I
you expect
sort of,
it to be, right?
Yeah, seeing how Trump has been litigating these cases over the years, I expect there to be an appeal.
Well, yeah, and this legal process is going to go crazy. But and this is something that I said early on, because they were – what did they do right after they made this? They did something that was unprecedented, and I cannot for the life of me remember – what it was. It was something that we normally don't see happen, where the attorney general came out and said something, and it changed the flow of things.
So what happened was they released the application for the search warrant.
Yes. So I was not happy with that, because if you're going to do this, it needs to be by the book of what our judicial system says, to erase all doubt that this has any political leanings to it. I was not happy that they did this. I agree with the decision that if our judicial system normally doesn't allow a master reviewer of all this, that's the way that it needs to go. Like, this needs to play out in my mind, and I think in the mind of most of the public, this needs to play out as any other, you know, any other criminal case would.
Right. And that's why this case sort of caught my attention when the decision came out yesterday, is because there's always something kind of new and novel happening that your average person who's involved in these cases don't get these types of, accommodations.
The judicial system should be the same no matter what your prestige or income bracket is, shouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's why you have Lady Justice. She should be blind, right?
Exactly.
She's dispensing justice. Should be.
I was going to say, you said should be.
Yeah. Should be.
Not always.
There's a lot of should be's, but we know it doesn't always work out that way. But I think that's the point that the whole thing is trying to make, or that this there can't be a precedent that this is above
right.
A normal
in either way. Like,
right.
it shouldn't benefit, because he is a candidate for the 2024 presidential election. Like, that's that we haven't seen somebody announce candidacy with open criminal charges, you know, against him right now. Now, when do you expect, timeline wise? I mean, this is just going to draw it out more and more, isn't it?
I think the court's very aware of, you know, the potential strategy to delay this, mm-hmm. which is why they were given a 10-day deadline to sort of pick which appellate process they want to go through and file their notices. And then I can't imagine that whatever they decide to do, that the next court is going to just sit on it. They'll probably schedule things pretty quickly to make sure that this issue gets resolved.
Right. And this does open up a whole new can of worms, because the primaries are right around the corner. I can't believe
God,
I'm saying
don't
that.
Say that.
I know.
I mean, come on, man.
But they are. And so this is so unique and novel, like you said, that we've never seen this before.
No. And the government was smart in that they didn't just kind of going kicking and screaming. They said, fine, you're going to appoint a special master. That's not going to slow us down in our investigation. Here are the documents, special master, start reviewing. So while this is all happening, it kind of doesn't matter what the outcome is. They're like, they've already given the documents to the special master to at least continue to conduct their investigation. So that way, even though it's delayed in a sense, it's not as delayed while this litigation is pending.
Right. It's still moving forward. We're talking with Havala with Bruno Lilly Legal. It is important to note here in this segment, this is for entertainment purposes. This is not legal advice. If you want good legal advice, you can call Havala and hire her to be your attorney. But this is just fascinating to me, because as you go along, you get into the primary cycle, and we know the justice system does take time, but we had this conversation. The federal system moves a lot quicker than some of these local branches, right?
Yeah, it's interesting when I'm going between state court and a federal court and litigating in cases, just
really?
The differences. For instance, this case that I have in federal court now, the jury trial was scheduled before they even picked up my client on a warrant. And that jury trial date is still set, you know, and it's just they just don't mess around. They're like, we're not going to let you delay this. You need to have very good reasons if you're going to be delaying this. it's just very different.
Is one better than the other?
I don't think one's better than the other. They each have their place.
So I just meant the process of it and so forth.
Right. No.
I mean, there are pros and cons. You certainly see that in the state courts, right? Like, I know which jurisdiction is going to let me kind of take my time with a case and which jurisdiction is not. So you have that in state court, too. I think just federal courts in general are very efficient and they have their process and they're not really going to deviate from that a lot.
So, and this is the question that I need to do some research on, too. But can a presidential candidate have an open case against him? Can that happen? And if elected, then what? It's so fascinating to me to see. So this needs to be resolved quickly. And I would assume that it would, right?
They're investigations. They're not charges. Those are always different.
True. But, this investigation, if it does lead to
charges,
whatever it could be. What does that mean in the grand scheme of things? It's very interesting. This has gone kind of under the radar recently for a lot of people.
Well, we're writing history right now.
Right.
I mean, we're writing things that they'll look back on as the precedent, are happening right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Have we seen any former presidents that have been indicted with something or had charges brought against them after they left office?
After they left office?
Yeah. I can't think of any.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's entirely possible, but I don't know that.
Did Nixon have anything against him for Watergate?
Or I think he did a hit and run.
Okay. Good Lord. We're talking with Havala with Bruno Lilly Legal. Those are big accusations. I believe that's slander.
Nixon
right?
killed several puppies. I'm going to say it now.
That's Brian.
Is puppy like code for Marilyn Monroe?
No, it's not.
Oh! Oh!
Really? Really?
Just checking. Right.
Turned into the conspiracy hour here. Havala with Bruno Lilly Legal. You want to stick with us for a while?
Sure.
All right, we've got the Wheel of Meat coming up. Okay,
get ready for this.
Havala is going to spin the wheel.
Awesome.
For us.
Oh,
okay.
Very cool.
So I don't
I
have
hope
anything.
Lori signed off on this.
Yeah, she's in. Lori okay. with
Lori's
the Merc.
Good. Miguel's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, they're all good.
Yeah.
The wheel looks incredible today as well. So we're going to be taking our contestant when we come back on the other side. You've got Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.